My name is Will Brenton, and I am the founder and director of Woods End Laboratories in Mount Vernon, Maine. And we have been testing soils continuously since 1975.
Dr. Brenton, I'd like to ask you about soil testing as it relates to agricultural purposes. And maybe we should start with some background on the research that you and others have done and the importance of understanding the soil fertility and the various nutrients that exist in the soil. So however you want to address that topic as we begin.
Okay, well, I would say that one of the most important things to consider now that would help explain why we do what we do is the increasing concern for conserving nutrients in agriculture, the increasing concerns of preserving water quality, and these, plus the changes in climate that are stressing soils more, the cycles of water and the dryness, all of this is causing us to review more carefully how we report nutrients present in the system, account for them, and fertilize the soils. So it's almost as though the age-old field of soil testing is going through a new change, a redevelopment, and a new discovery at this time.
Where does that process need to be updated the most, in your opinion?
I think the most significant thing that we have to address now is the role and activity of microorganisms in soils, in and on soils, which are acting to mediate, regulate, and in many ways control the nutrients that are presented to plants.
How can farmers and people in agriculture in general gain a better understanding of how those organisms exist, how they thrive?
It's a fascinating topic because, in a way, the organisms are working in the soil all the time, and we just take them for granted. When you put ammonium fertilizer on soil, a group of microbes will faithfully transform it to nitrate, sometimes in a matter of days, and actually the plants prefer that, and they will absorb it, and nature just keeps doing these processes. At the same time, microbes are present in soil that will do things that are less desirable, such as when soils are waterlogged, if there's free nitrate in the soil, these microbes will denitrify it, meaning convert it to nitrous oxide, and will leave the soil, and that represents a loss to the system.
So on that subject then, what are options for farmers, and as it applies to soil testing, and again, understanding what's happening underneath that topsoil, what are some things that they can do to gain a better understanding?
One of the important things and the focus of my work has been to begin to develop technology to measure microbial turnover in soil. And one of the most common traits that anyone can observe with a number of different technologies of measurement is what we call soil respiration, the ability of soil to absorb oxygen and give off carbon dioxide. In fact, the entire soil as a mass acts like a living organism in that you can measure copious amounts of oxygen being consumed in the system and an equivalent amount of carbon dioxide being released. So what we're doing now is we're focusing down on that and saying, how well can we quantify that and how directly does this relate to other important nutrient transformations?
How exact has that science become?
I went to Europe as a young grad student in the late 70s to work at research institutes in Switzerland, Germany, and Sweden that had developed soil biology measurement techniques. Now, at that time, they were only in the research labs, and we went around to different farms and different countries and took samples and did comparison studies over a period of several years. And this enlivened the interest quite a bit because we found startling differences between soils that are differently managed. And we were able to quantify it to the point where we could see correlations with the quality of crop growth. In other words, we were ignoring the nutrients per se and just looking at the mass of microbial activity in the soil and found that that correlated with good crop performance. And it was very exciting at the time.
So to make this applicable for a farmer, the goal should be to create as healthy an environment as possible for these microbes, I'm assuming. How can they do that?
In many ways, farmers are doing it already, and I always like to point to all the practices they do that, unrecognized or otherwise, are contributing to healthy soil. One is by returning plant litter to the soil after crops are harvested is feeding microbes. Whether you disc it into the soil or if you're a no-tiller, leave it on the soil surface, that litter and that material will be consumed by microorganisms. And what you're actually doing is you're feeding the farm animals. One way to quantify that so it impresses you, if you measure the mass, we call it the biomass of microbes per acre, it's anywhere from 2 to 4 tons of microbes living, breathing, and eating in your soil. So if that were animals grazing, you would see them every day and know you had to feed them. Well, the same is true of the microbes in the soil.
I might be jumping ahead a little bit here, but currently farmers do soil testing to see where their various NP and K needs might be. As we look further into this research and what's ahead, the information that farmers can utilize, how do you see that dynamic changing and farmers maybe fertilizing or their fertility programs changing for the better, not only for them from an economics perspective, but also for the environment?
I recently wrote a blog in the Soil Science America newsletter, and in it I supposed that in the not-too-distant future, soil testing will be completely changed from what we're accustomed to doing now to what we will become, what we will begin to do in the future. And the big change will be taking account of the transformations that microbes carry out in soil that are directly feeding plants and supporting the development of healthy functioning soils.
You talked about, you know, quantifying some of this research. As it pertains to what you just said, are we fairly accurate in what we can learn about soil health at this point?
There's a tremendous discussion going on in this country right now about soil health, and it actually, we're in the second decade of these kinds of discussions. The decade before, we had the soil quality index discussions that went through the 90s and into the early 2000s, and now we've drawn an even bigger set of relationships pointing to soil health being a measurable trait. Now, whenever you propose something like that, it's like with anything to deal with complex networks, relationships of physical, biological, and chemical processes, it's going to raise lots of questions about how to measure it. So right now, there's probably 15 different ways to measure it, many of them highly associated with each other and others not. An example will be, I can measure respiration very accurately with 3 or 4 different types of technology present. And then I can measure, for example, enzymes in soil. Enzymes are produced by microbes but are present in much smaller amounts than microbes. And I can show that the two are associated. We just completed another study where we counted the number of earthworms per acre in a controlled fashion. And then we ran biological tests, and we had these very high correlations with CO2 respiration. So what we're doing is we're beginning to build equivalencies. That is, we're showing how one group of tests relate to another group of tests so that we can help interpret the information.
I know it's hard to condense something like this, but what, in your opinion, Will, is the take-home message for agriculture going forward? What do they need to be on top of? What do they need to be prepared for?
I think agriculture going forward has to be much more closely focused with the efficiency of nutrient cycling in soil systems. Presently, and I was just on the phone with a government soil conservationist, he's concerned that going forward we have a lot of problems, and they have to do with too many nutrients leaking out of the system into waterways. We still have nutrient losses from erosion, and we have evidence of over-fertilization, and these are our enormous concerns going forward. So farmers need to know that what is coming are new methods of accounting for nutrients and a new way of appreciating the biological cycle so that you can pull back on some of the fertilizer inputs and still get the excellent yields that you expect.
So from a management standpoint, then, you're looking at using less fertilizer, for one, but are there some other conservation tactics, if you will, cover crops, reduce tillage, things like that, that are also going to be part of this?
It's enormously important that we see this in the big context, as your question suggests. The fact that soils are left bare so many months of the year, anywhere you go in America, between a crop, a winter in between, and then the next season, is something that should concern us very, very much, because plants have the ability to act as natural filters. We sometimes call them biofilters, in that they mediate the loss of nutrients. Instead of nitrate, for example, washing out of soil in the late fall or into the winter, if you have a cover crop on the soil, the plant will absorb it and hold it in a temporary fashion until the next spring, when the cover crop dies either from freezing or is killed deliberately. Those nutrients go back into the system. Without the plant cover, you may have lost that extra supply of nitrogen.
And then probably to the same point then, when you reduce or go to a no-tillage type of practice, you're just conserving more of those nutrients and it's going to benefit the soil?
It absolutely will benefit the soil when you pull back on tillage. One of the things tillage does is it keeps the soil warmer because it puts air into it and it speeds up the respiration. We've directly measured this temperature differential with soil carbon loss, and the more you till, the more carbon you're going to lose from the soil, and that also has indirect ramifications. You're losing the ability to hold nutrients in the soil, you're losing the exchange capacity that's associated with the carbon, and you're losing the structure, the aggregate quality of the soil by doing that. So the move to reduce tillage, I think, has been one of the most important accomplishments of this last decade.
Will, you've answered all of the questions that I could come up with. Are there other aspects to this, though, that we haven't talked about that you think we should?
One of the aspects I'm extremely interested in, being a commercial soil testing lab, is to bring the soil testing community into this discussion. Often when farmers or anyone hears this topic being discussed, everybody is focused on what are the farmers doing well and not doing well. And we look at their equipment, we look at their fertilizer practices, but I have discovered the soil laboratories need to change their practices. They need some better practices too. They, in many cases, are using methods that may inadvertently cause us to recommend more nutrients than are necessary. They may be ignoring microbial factors in soil. They some of them do not even today measure carbon or organic matter in the soil. And these are things that have to change at the soil testing level.
Do you have a couple of examples of what you're talking about?
We have worked with a handful of labs, right now about five labs, very intensely in America. These are labs all much bigger than my own, to introduce new testing methods. And one of the biggest steps we've made is to try to develop the technology to be able to process a soil for a biological parameter that has not normally been included. And I developed and invented a test called Solvita to make it easy for them. And we've been working with them to introduce this test and to encourage them to do other tests like it, so that farmers can have that information coming back in their normal soil reports.
Anything else, Will?
I just want to say how exciting this whole arena of discussion is right now. I've been in it a long time, and I like to tell people every 10 years something happens that lifts the discussion onto a new plane. And if it's not the equipment people changing farming equipment and starting a revolution there, it'll be somebody in the soil lab. I just read a paper in Europe. They've invented a new way of processing soils physically in the lab so as not to disrupt the biology of the sample. This is the kind of excitement that keeps us all going.
Yeah, it'll be fun to revisit this topic in 10 years and see what's changed.
I think in 10 years this will be completely different. And I sometimes don't imagine that, and yet it happens, and there it is right in front of you, that many changes have taken place. Some of them are incremental, and we tend not to notice them, but they are large changes nonetheless.
Will, this has been very enlightening. I really appreciate your time. It was great to visit with you today.
Well, thank you, Mark.